Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is side two of For the Record program number 465, titled The Gipper and the Underground Reich. This has been recorded on June 20th of the year 2004. Remember that sister station WFMU is archiving the For the Record programs on Real Audio, more recent programs streaming at www.wfmu.org/Dave Emery. Older programs available for download only, also on Real Audio at a longer address linked to both the wfmu.org/Dave Emery address and to the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. Spitfire stocks all of the CDs that I've done over the years and all of the lectures. Again, their website has, in the For the Record section, long written article-length descriptions of the For the Record programs, annotated and frequently containing information that was not included in the original broadcast due to the limitations of time. Spitfire website also has the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile available on it, and it has a search function as well. Now, we're going to return to the subject that we were looking at in Side 1, namely the extent to which Ronald Reagan served as a front for elements of the Underground Reich, both way back in the late 40s and early 50s when he was the spokesperson for the Crusade for Freedom, and all the way on up through his administration. The personnel for the Reagan administrations was selected by Helena von Damm, the protege of Otto von Bolschwing, one of the Nazi war criminals brought into the United States under the auspices of the Crusade for Freedom, fronted for by Ronald Reagan. We're going to take a look at Otto von Bolschwing and his protege Helena von Damm in this excerpt taken from For the Record program number 180, which in turn is accessing information from RFA program number 3. What we're going to do next is to listen to some excerpts of Radio Free America program number 3. This was recorded on June 21st of 1984. In addition to my own voice, you will also hear the voice of my charming and capable former co-host, Nip Tuck, who assisted me with the on-air responsibilities. And this particular RFA show is about the Galen Organization.
Okay, this article that we're going to be reading from comes from the San Jose Mercury for November 20th, 1981. Again, the article was put together by Pete Carey in the course of what was originally an investigation into Frank Turple and others. And the article is headlined, Ex-Nazi's Brilliant U.S. Career Strangled in a Web of Lies. For the past 10 years, Otto Albrecht Alfred von Bolschwing's carefully constructed life in America has been coming apart a piece at a time. He was president of a high-technology investment firm with headquarters in Sacramento and subsidiaries in the Silicon Valley. It went bankrupt in a 1971 scandal. He was a doting husband until his ailing wife killed herself in 1978. He numbered among his business associates millionaires, bankers, and scientists. Then his brain stem was hit by a rare disease 2 years ago, sending him into isolation at a Carmichael rest home. He told friends he had worked for the Americans during and after World War II. But in May, the federal government began proceedings to deport him for lying about his Nazi past. And I should just mention in passing here that Otto von Bolschwing did die a couple of months after this article was written. In a widely publicized attempt to revoke von Bolschwing's citizenship, the Justice Department accused him of helping Hitler's persecution of European Jews and of being an associate of Adolf Eichmann, the architect of Germany's mass killing program. The disclosures come at the end of a long, improbable career that took von Bolschwing through the Nazi hierarchy, into the CIA, and finally to the highest levels of American business. The list of people he knew, some of whom he met through a California high technology business venture in 1970, reads like a who's who. They include Justice William A. Newsom of the First District Court of Appeals in San Francisco, Helene von Damm, President Reagan's personal secretary.
And still later on in RFA 3, we hear the following about Helena von Damm.
Records and interviews with TCI officials indicate that Helena von Damm, President Reagan's Austrian-born deputy assistant, translated some German contracts for TCI and invested $1,000 in it while she was then Governor Reagan's secretary in Sacramento. Von Damm was too busy, unquote, to talk about von Bolsping, but through her White House secretary said she knew him socially in Sacramento many years ago.
By the way, Helena von Dahm was actually Otto von Bolsping's protege. I know this from behind the scenes, as it played a small role in helping to break this particular story. She came to the United States by marrying a member of the same military intelligence unit as William Clark, Ronald Reagan's second national security advisor. And again, it was Helena von Dahm who drew up the list from which all of Ronald Reagan's cabinet appointments were made. More about that in RFA program number 3 from 62184.
Of course, in this whole interview here, this whole article, I should say, perhaps the name that jumps out the most is that of Helena von Dahm. And this article identifies her as President Reagan's Austrian-born deputy assistant. She basically was responsible for drawing up the list from which all of Reagan's cabinet appointees were named and were made, I should say. And note that von Bolsping, who certainly spoke German himself, picked her, of all people, to do translating for these documents for TCI. Noted that she also invested in TCI while then Governor Reagan's secretary. Now, the von Dahm von Bolsming connection is one that certainly bears investigating and bears, having more light shed on it. As we like to say in these broadcasts, food for thought, grounds for further research, because Helena von Dahm has certainly not been idle, and her connections to a high-ranking Nazi war criminal. Now, keep in mind that von Bolsping was Eichmann's superior. Von Bolsping, among other things, was arranging for cooperation between the SS and the Haganah during World War II, and as that Huna passage indicated. And the von Dahm von Bolsping connection here certainly bears a lot of scrutiny, just as the Treva-Nixon connection did.
Among other things that bear scrutiny is the rise that Helena von Dahm has made within the Reagan administration. Let me just real quickly read an article, and then I'm going to add something to it. This article is from the San Francisco Chronicle for Tuesday, August 3rd, 1982. The article is headlined, Big Promotion for Reagan's Ex-Secretary. Now, let me just say one thing, just I thought it was kind of amusing as I was reading through this very, very short little blip here. Is they talk the article headlines, and I'm sure it was. It says big promotion. See if you can tell the difference from this article between what she was doing and what she was promoted to. Once again, big promotion for Reagan's ex-secretary from the Chronicle, August of 82. President Reagan announced yesterday in Des Moines that he will promote Helena von Dahm to the position of assistant to the president for presidential personnel.
Bear in mind as you listen to that, the Galen Mueller connection, the fact that von Bolsping was a key Galen operative, and basically Helena von Dahm was his protege in effect.
Now, eventually, the Reagan administration implemented the rollback or liberation theory policies that had been advocated by organizations like the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations and the related Galen organization and the Underground Reich. What we're going to look at next is one of the main vehicles for the Reagan administration's and the first George Bush's administration's policy in the former Soviet Union and Eastern Europe. Specifically, we're going to take a look at the Free Congress Foundation, its origins, its use of people like Laszlo Pastor and some of the other Third Reich-connected advocates of liberation theory as operatives in the former Soviet Union and Eastern Europe. We're going to go now to an excerpt from RFA Program 36. This was recorded on March 10th, 1991. RFA 36 was entitled The Destabilization of the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe. And in turn, you're going to hear some information about the Free Congress Foundation, this coming from Covert Action Information Bulletin number 35. That publication is now called Covert Action Quarterly. Now, this article is called The Free Congress Foundation Goes East, once again, co-authored by Russ Ballant and Lewis Wolf. It reads in part as follows. With the rapid pace of political change sweeping Eastern Europe and the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, many opportunities have emerged for Western interests to intervene in the politics of that region. In some cases, such a vacuum has been created that virtual strangers to the area several years ago are now able to actively participate in changing those societies from within.
These interventions are not only being practiced by mainstream organizations. The involvement of the United States far right brings with it the potential revival of fascist organizations in the East. One U.S. group, the Free Congress Foundation, has been playing a role in Eastern European and Soviet politics and has ties to Boris Yeltsin and the Interregional Deputies Group, or IRG, in the USSR. Now, once again, this is the most important single element in this article on the subject of it, the Free Congress Foundation, and we should bear in mind for future discussion that they are tied directly to Boris Yeltsin, as we shall see. Continuing here with Ballant and Wolf's article, the Free Congress Foundation, or FCF, was founded in 1974 by Paul Weyrich, W-E-Y-R-I-C-H, as the Committee for the Survival of a Free Congress. Weyrich, who had started the Heritage Foundation the year before, was heavily funded by the Coors family for both organizations. I would interrupt that Paul Weyrich is one of the major strategic planners and one of the major figures in the so-called New Right. Why I call it so-called, I will outline here later. He is one of the individuals credited with the political action committees and direct mail techniques which helped boost Ronald Reagan and later George Bush into their present situations. Although, as I've looked at in these archive shows, the stage was set for the Reagan and Bush ascendancy by political assassination, not Paul Weyrich. Continuing here, but it should be noted that in addition to the survival, the Committee for the Survival of a Free Congress, now the Free Congress Foundation, Weyrich founded the Heritage Foundation, an absolutely pivotal right-wing think tank, which, again, is very close to both the Reagan and Bush administrations. Continuing here, and bear in mind that this organization, as we shall see, is heavily involved in the Soviet Union, specifically with elements around Boris Yeltsin. Continuing with the article, Weyrich has kept one foot in the right wing of the Republican Party while dallying with the racist right and the extreme Christian right. In 1976, for instance, he and a handful of other new rightists, William Rusher, Morton Blackwell, and Richard Viguerie, attempted to take over the segregationist American Independent Party, or AIP, formed by George Wallace in 1968. The AIP was an amalgam of Ku Klux Klan and John Birch Society elements. In 1982, Weyrich published an essay in which he stated, quote, "Culturally destructive government policies, racial hiring quotas, and busing come to mind as examples, are to the new right more immediately important in the realm of action since the damage they can do is enormous and practically irremediable," unquote. This apparent defense of, quote, white culture, unquote, is dangerously close to theories advocated by white supremacists today. FCF's direct involvement in Eastern Europe began about a year ago at the urging of one of its directors, Robert Kriebel, K-R-I-E-B-L-E, a retired Connecticut businessman. His Kriebel Foundation backed efforts in late 1989 to send Weyrich and four associates to Hungary and the Soviet Union, including Estonia, to help train right-wing leaders in ideological and electoral matters. I would interject here, Estonia is now one of the Baltic republics pushing for independence. Weyrich stated upon his return that his visit to Moscow was, quote, the most incredible experience of our lives, unquote. There, he worked with the IRG of the Supreme Soviet, a leadership body of the Communist Party. He says that they were unequivocally in favor of private property, a market economy, and the restoration of religion. The IRG was established by Andrei Sakharov, Boris Yeltsin, and others in the summer of 1989. By the end of that year, a training school had been established for candidates to put forward the IRG program. Their electoral success this year propelled Yeltsin to the leadership of the Russian Soviet Socialist Republic. He immediately began forging collaborative relationships with the deeply reactionary leaders of the Lithuanian Sąjūdis Party. The IRG has also served as a source of right-wing pressure on Gorbachev to dismantle socialism and the Soviet Union itself. And we're going to hear another excerpt of For the Record 166 and, in turn, RFA 36. This further develops the links between the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations and the Third Reich and also the Republican Ethnic Outreach Organization. One of the key elements there is Laszlo Pastor. One of the key dangers in this agenda is the political vacuum it creates, allowing ultra-nationalist forces in a number of republics to increase their influence and possibly take power. Now, by the way, I should read the last couple of sentences again. The IRG has also served as a source of right-wing pressure on Gorbachev to dismantle socialism and the Soviet Union itself. One of the key dangers in this agenda is the political vacuum it creates, allowing ultra-nationalist forces in a number of republics to increase their influence and possibly take power. Such nationalist and fascist elements are already evident in Lithuania and the Ukraine. In the latter republic, the pro-Nazi Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, or OUN, has gained influence in several parties and has mobilized large demonstrations that honor OUN leaders who abetted Hitler's war on the Eastern Front. Similarly, several Sejudis deputies served in German-supported military units in 1944, and Sejudis has made declarations against ethnic Russians living in Lithuania. According to some reports, Poles have also been denigrated. It should also be noted that radical reformer, quote-unquote, Boris Yeltsin has dallied with Pomyat, P-A-M-Y-A-T, the foremost Russian fascist group to emerge in the last several years. Pomyat's virulent anti-Semitism compares to the crude propaganda of the early German Nazi Party in the 1920s. We will take a look at Pomyat later on in this installment. Continuing, the FCF is not entirely disconnected from the history of the OUN. The treasurer of the FCF board is George Washington University professor Charles Moser, M-O-S-E-R. Moser also serves on the editorial advisory board of the Ukrainian Quarterly, published by the Ukrainian Congress Committee of America, a group dominated by the OUN. The Ukrainian Quarterly has praised military units of the German SS and otherwise justified the OUN alliance with the Third Reich, which reflects the fact that the OUN was politically and militarily allied with Hitler and the Nazi occupation of the Ukraine. The OUN, an international semi-secret cadre organization headquartered in Bavaria, has received financial assistance from the late Franz Josef Strauss, the rightist head of the Bavarian state. Strauss also had a working relationship with Weyrich. Weyrich fed speeches by Strauss attacking Germany's détente with the USSR to U.S. senators who would then insert them into the congressional record. When Strauss came to Washington, Weyrich was the person who helped set up his itinerary. Another indicator of the anti-democratic character of the FCF's foreign policy is its co-sponsorship of Freedom Fighter newsletter. Freedom Fighter, edited by Charles Moser, is published from FCF offices in conjunction with Jack Wheeler's Freedom Research Foundation. It reports on and supports the military operations of RENAMO, R-E-N-A-M-O, in Mozambique, UNITA in Angola, the Nicaraguan Contras, and similar groups in Southeast Asia, Northern Africa, and Afghanistan. Particularly telling is their support of the South African-sponsored RENAMO operation, which even the State Department has denounced for its scorched-earth terror and murder of more than 100,000 Mozambicans. Pausing at this point, we should look here again at the affiliation between Charles Moser, described as the treasurer of the FCF board, and the elements grouped around the OUN. In Radio Free America number 1 and Radio Free America shows 14 and 15, we took a look at the OUN, its work with the Third Reich, its work with the Galen Organization, and its work with not only the Central Intelligence Agency when the Galen Group became part of the CIA, but also we took a look at it as a major element in the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, or ABN. We're going to take a look at ABN later on in this particular article. The anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations is an organization, as we shall see, which goes back to 1943, literally a link with the Third Reich, and it is one of the major elements in the World Anti-Communist League, a major vehicle of both a major fount of foreign policy inspiration and a major vehicle for covert action in the Reagan and Bush administrations. We also took a look at OUN-UPA and the ABN in a miscellaneous archive show entitled Nazis and Anti-Semites on the George Bush Campaign that was aired in November of 1988. That also, by the way, based in considerable measure on work done by Russ Ballant, the co-author of this article. And again, the involvement of OUN-UPA, which incidentally is also an organization along with the ABN, which has links going to the assassination of President Kennedy, as we looked at in Radio Free America 15. This is an organization directly connected, or linked, I should say, to Charles Moser, and Moser involved, as we see here, very much with FCF. That, again, from Covert Action Information Bulletin number 35, accessed in RFA Program 36, the destabilization of the Soviet Union in Eastern Europe. And that particular installment was aired on March 10th of 1991.
Still more about the Free Congress Foundation, and once again, note the name of Laszlo Pastor. He was the fellow we looked at in Side 1, who was the linchpin of the incorporation of this Nazi element into the Republican Party. Even today in the year 2004, one hears the pathetic and demonstrably false claim on the part of the so-called progressive sector that there is no difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. There are plenty of differences, maybe not as much as some people might like, but there's no Nazi wing of the Democratic Party, and there is one of the Republican Party, and as we'll see again at the tail end of this program, that incorporates some of the same Islamists who also have evolved from the Muslim element that was allied with the Third Reich as a vehicle for gaining control of what the Third Reich termed the Earth Island. Once again, we go back, we revisit For the Record program number 367, and in turn, we're revisiting RFA program number 36.
This last section of the article is a very important one. Well, the whole article is very important, and I'm going to analyze it in just a couple of minutes. The person that we're going to be focusing on here is an individual we spoke about in the aforementioned miscellaneous archive show, Nazis and Anti-Semites on the George Bush Campaign, that aired in September of 1988. This individual is named Laszlo Pastor, Laszlo Pastor, and he is an individual who stems from fascist Hungary. It should be recalled that in addition to Germany, Italy, and Japan, the Axis also involved Bulgaria, Romania, and Hungary. All of those countries were fascist and fought alongside the Third Reich against the Soviet Union and also the United States. Laszlo Pastor goes back. He was a Hungarian fascist. He also was heavily involved with the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, that key and most reactionary element of WACL that I spoke about earlier. Speaking about his connection here to Free Congress Foundation, the inappropriately named Free Congress Foundation. Finally, FCF's, continuing here with Bland and Wolf's article, finally, FCF's insinuation into the politics of the East must be judged by their selection of Laszlo Pastor to head their Liberation Support Alliance, quote, which seeks to liberate peoples in Central and Eastern European nations, unquote. Pastor's involvement in East European politics began in World War II when he joined the youth organization of the Arrow Cross, the Nazi Party of Hungary. When the Arrow Cross was installed in power by a German commando operation, Pastor was sent to Berlin to help facilitate the liaison between the Arrow Cross and Hitler. Pastor was tried and served 2 years in jail for his Arrow Cross activities after an anti-communist government was elected in Hungary in 1945. He eventually came to the U.S. and established the ethnic arm of the Republican National Committee for Richard Nixon. He brought other Nazi collaborators from the Eastern Front into the GOP. Some were later found to have participated in mass murder during the war. I would interrupt. That is the organization, the Republican Ethnic Heritage Council, that we spoke about in the aforementioned miscellaneous archive show, Nazis and Anti-Semites in the George Bush Campaign. Continuing here with Ballant and Wolf's article. The dormant Arrow Cross has surfaced again in Hungary, where there have been attempts to lift the ban on the Nazi organization. Pastor spent several months in Hungary. When Paul Weyrich later conducted training there, he was provided a list of Pastor's contacts inside the country. Weyrich reports that he conducted training for the recently formed and now governing party, New Democratic Forum. Pastor claims to have assisted some of his friends in Hungary in getting NED funds through his advisory position with NED. Recall that NED is the organization which, through LCRA, Lithuanian Catholic Religious Aid, and the closely allied Lithuanian Information Center, is re-injecting fascist elements into Lithuania under Sejudis. We looked at that in the first installment of this archive series. Continuing with the article, Pastor seems to have assisted some of his friends in Hungary in getting NED funding through his advisory position with NED. In 1989, he spoke at the Heritage Foundation under the sponsorship of the Anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, or ABN, a multinational umbrella organization of emigre fascists and Nazis founded in alliance with Hitler in 1943. It is led by the OUN. Pastor spoke for the, quote, Hungarian organization, unquote, of ABN, which is the Arrow Cross.
And by way of tying in some of the elements that ultimately evolved into Al-Qaeda, we took a look at this in side one. The World Anti-Communist League had as its Muslim element, its Islamist element, an organization called the World Muslim Congress that had been founded by Haj Amin al-Husseini, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, and an SS officer. Concluding with this passage from The Beast Reawakens by Martin A. Lee of the World Muslim Congress, a few years later, the World Muslim Congress, then headed by Pakistani Dr. Inamullah Khan, mailed Holocaust denial literature to every member of the U.S. Congress and the British Parliament. The WMC's official mouthpiece, Muslim World, carried the ads for the Protocols of the Elders of Zion and Henry Ford's The International Jew. Dr. Khan also served as an advisor to the Saudi Arabian royal family, which lavished funds on the WMC. In addition, the Saudi Arabian government retained the services of American neo-Nazi William Grimstead as a Washington lobbyist. Soon, the World Muslim Congress began working closely with U.S. intelligence and Pakistani military officials who were covertly supporting the Afghan Mujahideen in their fight against the Soviet-installed regime in Kabul. The effort was strongly endorsed by Dr. Khan, who served for many years as the Pakistani representative of the Nazi-infested World Anti-Communist League, which played an important role in the Reagan administration's secret war in the Golden Crescent. And again, this the Wackel ABN Third Reich-related elements did indeed become a primary element of U.S. policy and Reagan administration policy against the former Soviet Union. But now, in the post-Reagan years, we're coming to understand a little better how these same elements were utilized by the Underground Reich as vehicles against the United States as well, because for the Underground Reich, anti-communism served as a wonderful vehicle for the infiltration of the United States, the corruption and bankrupting of its economy, and if they have their way, ultimately, I think, for the destruction and or subjugation of the United States of America. It is to be hoped that that does not happen. WFMU archiving the For the Record programs on Real Audio. More recent programs streaming at www.wfmu.org/Dave Emery. Older programs are available for download only at a longer URL. Link to both that address and to the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. Spitfire stocks all of the CDs and lectures I've done over the years, and you can visit the Spitfire website for long, written, detailed, annotated descriptions of the For the Record shows. Also be aware that the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile is available for download on the Spitfire website, and the Spitfire website's equipped with a search function as well. That concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 465, The Gipper in the Underground Reich, being recorded on June 20th of the year 2004. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.